For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of Non-League Football. This week it is the FA Trophy third round, the last 64, and the return of my old presenting partner, Dave Anderson, as he talks about life at Barnet and looking ahead to their FA Trophy tie with Boreham Wood. We also speak to a chairman who's befuddled by his club's fine for trying to postpone a fixture that required two COVID jabs for each traveller and 2 days off work. They just didn't have the staff to fulfil it. Rounding off the show, Matt Badcock, editor-at-large at the Non-League paper, returns as we discuss the impact of COVID and the looming cloud over the Christmas calendar. Plus, what we can expect in this weekend's edition of the Non-League paper. Much to come, sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Well, it is Christmas time after all, so let's make it a return of more old friends. He's told us all about his retirement, probably 1,000 times, if not more, but he was lured back to the training ground earlier this year and has been earning his corn at Barnet ever since. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to Mr. Dave Anderson.
Good evening, Tim, and seasonal greetings to you and the listeners. I would say the last time I was on, Tim, you cut me off. Do you remember the phone line
went down, and it was almost as if, you know, that someone was trying to tell us something. I don't know what it was, but I mean, we've seen each other a number of times since games and whatever.
Yes.
And you look rejuvenated. You certainly have seen. You've got that love back for the game. I assume you're enjoying it, being back out there.
It's been great. It's been really good, Tim. It's really different because, you know yourself, the manager carries the real con and the real stress, and, you know, anything in behind that. I always say, you know, if you're sitting in the dugout 2 steps behind the manager, effectively you're 200 miles away. You know, it's a big difference, them 2 steps. But so I'm having a great time. I've been there a little while now, and you know, since Dean's came down, it's been good. We know each other. As you know, he played for me at 2 different clubs, but he's very good. He's very good at what he does, and we've always known about his knowledge of the game and players. And to see the close hands, good fun, and the staff we've got are working well, and the group we've got are with a real good togetherness at the moment, you know.
And you know, for years we've been talking about this, but so much of this game is about confidence. And you know, only a few weeks ago, you know, everybody had written Barnet off as relegation fodder, and everybody was talking about Alan Dowson's great success at Woking and how they could prove to be this season Sutton. Now, I'm not saying they won't be, but looking at the National League table, your Barnet side is now 1 point and 1 place above them.
Well, I hope Dice has realised that. I can't wait to phone him and tell him. No, I've seen Dice. We played him a couple of weeks ago on a quick chat with him. Obviously, we were in a coach, so I couldn't stick around. But look, listen, confidence is certainly one aspect of success. But it's more of what I've watched is how the team have been filled with confidence, how they've been coached and worked and coached into the roles that Dean wants them to do and how he wants the team to play. And that's, you know, I mean, as you know, I'm a dinosaur in football, but I'm watching the modern game in front of me. It's good fun, and I think we know what football's like. Tim, winning games lifts everybody and lifts confidence, but you can't do it off the cuff. You know, I heard someone say the other week that we were an off-the-cuff team, and I laughed because it was a statement that just didn't bear any reality to how we are and what we do. But I have to say, it's a great place to be around at the moment, you know. And for me, at my age, you're right, it has. I think I'm growing black hairs back over through the grey, Tim, you know.
Well, you're enjoying it at the moment until it gets really cold, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I've had that one. I've had a bit of stick off the lads about, because you know me, I've got gloves on in June. My hands go cold really quick. But it's been all right. The weather, touch wood, has been fine. Don't say this of a golf game. I've struggled with all this commitment to football, but I'm learning to live with that.
I thought that's what came with full-time football. I mean, you say working, you know, alongside with Dean Brennan there now for a number of months. I think his official title is director of football. Have your ideas changed on the role of a director of football?
Well, I think it was in this contract that if there was a change in management, then Dean would drop down and effectively be the interim manager until such times as the club decided to bring another manager in. I try, listen, I'm an experienced guy, so I keep my nose out of that. You know, that's not my department anymore. My department is how many sugars you want in your tea, and I'll stir it for you. So I imagine that's still the situation, but you'd have to be nuts to want to change at the moment, you know.
I'd say about looking at that table, you know, I'm looking at it there. As a side, you're actually 10 points above the relegation spots at the moment, but you're also 10 points off the playoffs as well.
Wow, bang, middle of the road. Well, it's looking up rather than down. But I'll tell you one thing about the division. It's a tough league. It's every game. And I know people say that about every league, but more so in the National, it's every game's there to be won, drawn or lost. And you can't predict what's coming next. All you can predict is everybody you play. You have to be right at it. You have to do your homework because everybody else does. I'm loving that side of it. I'm loving the level, you know, and, you know, that's been great fun. Referees are still average, but, you know, I don't want to go into that one. But, it's a great, great level. So, you know, I would hope that we'll go one way, but you have to be very careful about predicting that. I just think, you know, when somebody said once that, take one game at a time. I don't know who said that, but he was a clever guy. But in this division, you really have to.
And what about, you know, you've seen it now firsthand. How different is the National League game from the rest of the non-league?
Yeah, it is. It is different. I mean, I've now worked in every division from that down to the Combined Counties, which is level five. And it's, you know, I'm no genius to say when you step up a league, it does change. It gets harder, better, stronger. Funny enough, I was talking to a mate of ours at the weekend, Matt Gray and Jason Goodliffe, talking to them about the difference in League Two. And it just gets harder, stronger, more organised, better ability, better surfaces, better everything, you know. For me, it's sort of the highest level I've worked at, and it feels like it.
Yeah, and I'm just finding, yeah, that the higher you go up, that the actual as athletes, the players are they're better, muscle definition is better than any of the models we ever used to have at school.
Yeah, they are proper athletes, and I mean we're fortunate with Gary Anderson, who again, you know, his performance stuff because of his experience with Olympic teams and that, you know, but it is proper monitored. It's GPS on every day in training and in match days. And there isn't a hiding place. You know, I remember, like, if you go back to when I managed, and I felt that you should have been picking up the number 9 for the corner kick, and he scores, and you said you were, and I said you we'd argue about it. There is no arguing about that now because every game's videoed,
and we can tell you how
far you've run, when you've done it, and for how long. So it takes away any hiding place, which again is good. But it's that you can't believe the shape these guys are in, and I don't mean the Barnet guys. I mean when you could go and watch the games, and we're fortunate to be in the dugout, so you're right on top of it. They are proper athletes, like. Proper offer, a real credit to the level.
Oh. Yeah, I've got you on because it's good to chat, get you back on the show and that. But it's the FA Trophy this weekend as well. And you've got the visit of, well, National League neighbours Boreham Woods, who I think you're going to, I mean, if you didn't know them already, you're going to get to know them very well over the next few weeks.
It's one of them mad things. We've already played them in the FA Cup. They beat us 1-0 at Barnet a few weeks ago in a real sort of close game. I think Luke Gard's thing would say that, you know, and I don't expect anything different. We play them three times, I think, in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So that brings its own different feelings, because there'll be little skirmishes, there'll be things that build up over the period of the game. So they take on a different little role. But listen, Boreham Wood, strong, physically strong, big, very Sutton-like. You know, when we played against Sutton last year, he went on to win it. They've got that feel about them. They're big, strong. They want to compete. They want to try and bully you, for want of a better description. They've got great pace, weight, and people who care about their trade. So it's so we don't expect anything other than three tough games. But, you know, we're capable of that as well. So it's I ain't sitting on the fence. You can't call a result in this. But it'll be interesting to see if the same team wins all three of the games, the trophy in the two leagues, or how that pans out. But yeah, listen, we want to do well in the trophy. Of course we do. Wembley's one of them places that you want to go to, and it's a tough, tough tie for both sides, I think, if I'm being honest. The thing that we hope is that Bournemouth would have got their eyes on other prizes. They're doing very, very well in the division, and I know Luke played for me at AFC Wimbledon, and they've now drawn AFC Wimbledon in the next round of the FA Cup. So they're two big prizes for them to be, hopefully, take their eye off the ball for the game against us. I'm not sure they'll do that because they're more professional, but that's my hope anyway.
Well, Dave Anton back at Wembley, they'd have to be making, I mean, need a fair bit of bronze, but they'd have to be making another bronze statue to go out the front.
I'm not allowed to mention the word in the house, at the football club, at the golf club, you know, I'm banned from saying it. But and the odd thing is that it's a strange world, isn't it, that Jamie Turley and Joe Witherton, Joe's injured at the moment, both played for Orient in the game after my game on the day we won the Vasa Turkey. So it's strange. It's just strange how football is such a small world. But look, it's a competition that you want to do well in, because the supporters love it. It is a big competition. Wembley is the prize at the end of it. And we want to do well in it, Tim. It's as simple as that. Mm.
Before I let you go, plenty of talk this week on the show across football and across the country on the impact of COVID again. It's a concern, but I think as much as clubs can take various precautions, tests, etc., and something like that, it's very difficult to contain. I mean, how do you cope in the National League as a club?
Well, we've gone back into a bubble, Tim, where, you know, there's the old red zones that you've worked with them yourself, yeah. I'm guessing. So we're now back in the red zone situation, certainly on match days and training days. It's not just difficult for football, it's difficult for everyone. I've got my own thoughts on the whole thing, but I'll keep them to myself. I sincerely hope that we're allowed to play football, and more importantly, people are allowed to come and watch it. But the one thing it did prove, I was at Barnet during the lockdown, and I was actually there the first day fans came back in, and the difference is unbelievable. You know, I think it was Jock Steen that said football without fans is nothing, and it proved it to me. You know, I walked away from, I think we were Torquay actually away, our first game with supporters, and the difference was chalk and cheese. And we are all show-offs, and we all like to be involved in that environment, and football supporters love their team and love the game. So no matter what happens, I hope we're allowed to play, and I hope that people are allowed to come and watch us play.
And I hope that we get you back on the Non-League Football Show very, very soon, Dave Anderson. Thank you once again for joining us. Best of luck at the weekend, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you. You tell Dave very well, Tim. I'm sure you're delighted to have me back on. I'll hopefully come in the studio soon and bore you some more, mate. But Merry Christmas.
And to you, mate. Now, football is our passion. It's what makes us tick, but it's also what sometimes makes us sick. Now, we've already spoken about current COVID outbreaks in this show and league rules, regulations, interpretations, and how they're all set to be tested in the coming weeks. Well, certainly I think so. So this story probably has taken on an even more significance in the week that's gone on. At the end of November, New Mills FC were due to play away to Isle of Man in the North West Counties League. However, new governmental policy within the island meant that only those that were double jabbed could travel. New Mills didn't have enough players that ticked that box and asked to reschedule until a time that they did. The league last week then handed down a fine of £750 with £250 suspended for the season for the club failing to fulfil a fixture. Understandably, that the club aren't best pleased, and Chairman Ray Coverley joins me to explain some more. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Ray.
Hi there.
Now, I was keen to get you on, not to disrespect any league decisions, not to get you into trouble, but to get people thinking and get people talking about the implications of all of this. We saw at the weekend in the Formula One that rules are great, but they're often applied in different ways. And if that's what happens, then there needs to be an explanation or an understanding of the fairness, or otherwise the rules are going to mean nothing.
Totally agree with you. I mean, we were charged with not fulfilling a fixture or refusing to fulfil a fixture, which realistically, that wasn't the truth. We were prepared to reschedule it, but at the time, our club, we've got a lot of young players. And they obviously at the time haven't been double jabbed. And some of them didn't want to get jabbed at all because they know there's lots of false information goes on Facebook rightly or wrongly, and they read it and they decide they don't want the jab.
Yeah, if you're idle, if you're idle in the Football League, you're idle in the EFL, if you're musicians, if they're not getting their jabs, then it's understandable in a way for the younger generation to feel the same.
Yeah, well, we do, and you know, we've been trying to. Obviously, we are all in agreement with having the double jab, but it's hard for you to get them. I mean, at the moment, it's their right not to have it if they don't want it. There's no mandatory say that they have to have it, but we're trying to encourage them. But at the time, we couldn't muster up 9 players, 10 players at best. But then people point at that you've got a lot of players signed on. But to be fair, we've used quite a small squad. 22 players. I'm not sure that's exact, but it's around that. And we just couldn't really take a competitive team there, let alone any side, to be fair. So we had to look at it and sort of say, sorry, we can't go. We're going to do a later date. And then all of a sudden we get stung with a £750 fine, it takes a little bit of understanding, but you know, it's hard to go along and criticise because we're in the middle of an appeal. So it's a bit hard for me to comment really how I do feel, to be honest.
And I get your point that you can't however much respect as a chairman you've got, can't influence your players. You're not responsible for your players. Just like those that are running the leagues aren't responsible for you or how they act. So
exactly.
You would if it went to court and you're saying, oh well, all our players have got to have jabs, I'm sure you'd probably lose that one as well. It just
I don't understand it because it's like saying, the Isle of Man government, right, was told that they have their own set of rules and we have to abide by them if we go there. But what say if our parish council decided everybody that played at New Mills had to be double jabbed? What would happen then? I mean, it's For me, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
And I think that's, you know, the big issue that we've got here is, you know, you've got the Isle of Man playing in the Northwest Counties Leagues, and, you know, we're all pleased to see that. Certainly my thoughts are that it's their circumstances that have almost created an issue, and through no fault of their own and through no fault of anybody's, really. But in a way, they're almost being given preferential treatment as to who can travel and what teams you can send out there.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. It, for me, and this is my opinion, it becomes not a level playing field, but that's not their fault. Greatest respect to them, it isn't. It's been created by the situation of the pandemic. As a club, they're a very good club. They're well run, well organised, very respectful people. And it's not their fault. It's just it doesn't seem that it's right, really. But you know, we've got to abide by what we've got and try and deal with it best we can.
Yeah, and obviously last year in the Southern League, we saw Merthyr Town. They took a sabbatical. Because the rules of their land in Wales were different from the other clubs that they were playing against, and they just decided that, you know, fairness and it's complicated enough as it is being a secretary of a club or a chairman of a club, you know, and you know it took that difficulty away. They're playing again in the Southern League at the moment, and they've got different rules and things to comply by. But I think that's the. There's been a lot of debate that I've seen on social media, on message boards amongst non-league fans, and you knew the rules and that sort. But people also have to understand the intricacies of running a football club. Now, I'm ringing you Thursday evening. What are we? Yeah. Just coming up to 6:15. I've been able to catch you because you're opening up the bar tonight. You're the chairman of the football club, but you're still there on a Thursday evening. It's not as if you've got your feet up and thinking, well, how can I upset somebody this week?
Yeah. No, the thing with it is, I mean, we've COVID's around and we've got trouble with bar staff crying off, and Sue, my partner, she's the secretary. She's having to go to a course tonight for the football club. These folks, so it never stops. It's hard enough to deal with it without a lot of these these complications. I mean, when people say you knew the rules, we didn't know the rules when the Isle of Man came in, because originally the Isle of Man couldn't play any home games at all because you couldn't go into the Isle of Man. So it's not really a true statement to say that we knew the rules, that we didn't know the rules at all. These rules have been given to us, or these restrictions have been given to us in the last few months. It's only the last few months that people are allowed to go on the island. And so, I mean, anybody saying that we knew the rules is not specifically true, to be fair. So.
Yeah, and time and time again on this programme, I defend the football authorities, because it's not an easy job. It's just like being a chairman's not an easy job. You have to make hard decisions. But in this situation, again, I think to suspend some of the fine seems to suggest that they think it's a little bit harsh. But you've still been fined, and You've been found guilty of something that you couldn't. Yeah. I don't know what you could have done.
No, I don't either. But you know, can't say a lot, because that's what's been done. It's been done, and I think they're treating it as though we've done it like other clubs that have been found guilty of not fulfilling the fixture. But that ours wasn't really. I mean, let's be fair. We're like a couple of points off the top of the league. We're not going to fulfil a fixture, are we? Let's be fair on this.
I've seen some other suggestions, you know, that you could have just signed some local, you know, Sunday league players, or you could have signed me.
Or youth team players.
But the issue is, it's not like you're playing a side that's 5 miles across the other side of town. You're playing.
Exactly.
Whoever playing for you has got to take the whole day off work.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And they've got, you know, it's really a full day and a stopover. It's a night, because that's the way the flights are, or whichever way we get there. You've got to have a day or after or a day before to get, you know, to be ready for it. So, yeah, it's a different situation. I mean, I have no objections to the Isle of Man being in any league. I mean, that's the FA's choice, and it's our league that's been put in it. But, you know, you think there'd be a little bit more understanding of the problems that we've got. You know, we're not a Premiership club. finances come not easy. We have to work hard, all of us at this club. You know, we've got the full-time, the bars here, and we've got the full-time on that. We've got to work hard, again, in this current climate. Anybody will tell you in the hospitality industry, it's a blooming nightmare. So we have to try to do that. And then, you know, then with the football, you think it'd be easy, wouldn't you? But these sort of restrictions are really, really, well, it's costing us, really, to be fair. Obviously, with the league deciding that we're guilty of what we're guilty of. But, and again, you've got to be aware that I can't say really too much.
And
because
as
of
I said,
that,
I've worn the administrator's hat. I don't say it's an easy job or anything like that, and I don't want to get anybody into trouble. I cry time and time again on this show about the need for non-league to work together for solidarity.
Yep.
and not try and self-destruct itself whenever we have a bit of an issue. And I'll try and get a response from the league and you know, see if they want to come on record and give their side of it as well. But it just seems that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a lack of common sense here, and we need to look at the wider implications, which we've already raised in this show. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and it looks like that pandemic's going to get worse. So there's going to be more and more of these situations where clubs, whatever their intention is, just can't fulfil fixtures. Now, that's like sometimes, if any of my friends are listening to this and they say, well, you promised that we go out for a drink before Christmas. I know I did. But at the moment, it's not going to happen.
It's in the air, that, isn't it?
Anyway, on a positive note, right? Like, I've got you on.
Yep.
You know,
you're
doing, you know, doing well in the First Division South there. Second place, four
points
of leaders at West Didsbury. I mean, you
mentioned
you mentioned budgets and things like that. How do you survive? How do you gel a team together? How do you get a successful team together given the restrictions that you're under?
Well, what we did, we brought in a couple of ex-players who just finished in their careers, are very successful at non-league level. Because we wanted to go down, at one stage we have been down the route of semi-professional football, paying players. We got to the Eversticks Premiership, the Eversticks Division 1 North at one time. But that became too much for us. So we reset our sights and we brought in Mike Norton and Dave Birch of non-league level. And they then went down the road of looking at youth team, and they brought in from clubs a lot of young players, very young, to be honest, and they've all got real decent potential. That's at the moment. That's why we're doing well. I mean, we don't pay great wage bill because we haven't got that sort of money. We pay them expenses, which is we can't, you know, the petrol money which they have to have. We can't have them not being able to. Well, most of them, the dads drive them. That's what that's sort of what we're looking at. 19, 20 year olds, most of them. So that's what the route we've gone down is, to bring in these lads from who've been sort of taken to semi-pro clubs and not made it. And because they are young, they're still young, they were warm on the bench, they're not getting games, and here they're getting a game all the time. So that's one of the reasons they've not been double jabbed a lot of them. And even looking at this rearranged fixture, we're not looking great at the moment to having a full complement of players, but we've got to deal with it. We can't afford for it to go back to the our league and say you've not fulfilled the fixture again, here you are, have another £750 fine. I don't know whether that's the way it works, but you know, I don't know how it works. We've got to get this fixture done and see what happens after that. But it's, you know, we're still struggling in fairness, but that's a problem where I've got to deal with, or the club has got to deal with.
Yeah, and one of many problems I'd imagine you've got to deal with. You've already mentioned, you know, the hospitality sector. Imagine you've opening up the bar, but I'd imagine there's not the same drip of people coming through, because I'm talking to other clubs and other people in hospitality. People just aren't coming out at the moment.
No, at the moment we're doing okay. I mean, we've got the AstroTurf open on the side there where New Mills Juniors, they're all training tonight. We have a foodie Friday and Thursday where street traders come and set up. And to be fair, we've done all right with that. It's obviously tapering off now as this new strain gets old. People get a bit wary of going out, don't they? So we expect to be a bit quiet. And, you know, things like it's every day. Anybody who at this level knows how hard it is to survive without sort of the restrictions and fines that are put on you. But, I'll give you an example. On Friday last week, our boiler that feeds all the water to the clubhouse, to the showers, blew up. So we've had to have that done over the weekend. You know, so it's an ongoing. I mean, I don't think some of these people realise how hard it is. I really don't.
I'm sure that £500 that you've had to pay for a fine, or going to have to pay for a fine, would have helped a long way towards that boiler. I mean, I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's about £2,000 worth. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how are you doing off the field? I know the club's been the current ground for 100 years or so now, but I remember reporting.
Well, it does, yeah.
About 5 years ago, about an unsuccessful attempt for a new development. Are there still plans?
Yeah, we're still on that, but the COVID put pay to that. When in a little bit, we were going to have a grant, and we have the pitch, an all weather pitch, like sort of Buxton at Dawn and what other clubs. That's a big income stream if it happens, but at the moment, it's on the back burner. For obvious reasons. So, but we over the summer, because the way we set up the club, we redid the club inside, we did outside, we've got a lot of outside space. So when the lockdown came back and we could only use the outside space, we were better off than a lot because we've got this massive outside space. And we've worked hard. We brought in young lads from school waiting on. You know, yeah, we did really well in that respect. We got by, but it's it's hard work. And when you hit with sort of things like that, you think, how are we going to survive? And I don't, you know, I'm sure you understand. You probably talk to chairman a lot worse off than we are, but you know, it really is hard. It's tough.
I think the big thing is, as to be a successful chairman, you have to have the ability to wear so many hats. You're like the the multi-handyman of everything. Yep. You know, I'm sure you're changing barrels. You're putting pictures up. You're changing light bulbs. You're probably fiddling around with the turnstiles.
At this moment in time, I did the kit this morning because the person who's doing the kit again, he's ill and he's living with his mother. So I've done the kit this morning. I'm just hanging it all out now. I did that then. The bar staff, the girl who normally does Thursdays, and the other one who comes on way to both are ill. So I'm having to do, I've just got to just cover the bar for an hour or so now. I'm not too busy for an hour after this because it's then when the people of the AstroTurf come in and want to drink. So yeah, I mean, it's a good job I'm retired because I don't know how I ever got to do this job while I was working as well. I don't know.
And for our listeners, if they've never been to New Mills, they may have seen it. You say you've done various bits up, but I think it was about 5 years ago when it was used as a film location for the Sky One comedy Rovers. Now, I quite liked the output and the portrayal of non-league in most cases in that show. I think it was fairly realistic. Have you got any of those characters at the New Mills? You know, it seemed very. Very accurate, really, for most non-league clubs.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was very, very funny. I was lucky to be here every day watching them do it. It was accurate. It's quite amusing in part, but it was a good advert for us, to be fair. And you know, but non-league football. I mean, I've been now from this club. We came when there was nothing here. I came as a player manager. Since then I've been everything, committee member. Now we're a limited company and I'm chairman of that limited company by guarantee. Doesn't mean we get anything out of it, basically. All it means is if this club goes to the wall, I end up having to pay something like £1,000 or something like that. Five of us pay all that. You know, we don't get anything out of it. You know, it's been a pleasure all these years, and I've seen some really good sides and some bad sides, bad times, good times. That's non-league football, and you have to deal with that. But at the moment, it's not like it used to be when it was a game of football. And now there's so much politics and restrictions go with it. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm not weeping. I wouldn't be doing it if I thought it was what's it. But, you know, and my heart goes out to other clubs that are worse off than us. And there are clubs worse off than us. You know, so, but, you know, I just want to get some sort of fairness out of this. And then, and I don't, if I go on and say what I really want to say, I don't know where I'll be, but... You know where I'm coming from.
I know where you're coming from, Ray, and it's been fantastic to get you on the show. And again, I don't want to get you into trouble, but I will say I think that that fairness is the big thing. You know, the lawyer that the trained lawyer in me goes, we need equity, we need understanding of the rules, we need the solidarity across non-league and a fine in this situation where I don't think you had another option that would. You know, wouldn't really bring the league into disrepute. As I say, you know, maybe you could assign me, but for me to have, you know, as you say, 2 days off work to come and play the game for, you know, some expenses, it's not realistic. Not in the current world, not in the current situation that we are. And I just think you were in a difficult situation, and in that circumstance, there maybe needs to be a little bit more common sense applied.
I think so.
Right, I've taken up far too much of your time. You've got pints to pull. You've probably you've got socks to unroll or unfurl, whatever.
No, they're all done now. I've just done that. Don't worry.
But it's been great to get an insight into what it takes to be a chairman, across non-league, and doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's in your blood.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's not just me. I mean, we've got other people on the board. And Nick, another lad, one of the directors, he works so hard. He does all the sort of accountancy work, all putting together the statement that went out. It was Nick's. Really, is you know, he did it better than me with his the way he words it. And he works hard. We've got other people too. She works tremendously. She's our secretary, my partner, and she has to deal with the Isle of Man. You know, they've got all loads of stuff to fill in to even get there. I mean, the logistics of getting the kit there and all that, it's easy for the Premiership and professional clubs, but not quite as easy for us.
It's difficult. Difficult enough to taking my three daughters on an aeroplane. I'm not sure about 16 non-league footballers.
Yeah, and also when they're under 21, it's going to be a harder thing. But also, there was one suggestion which I couldn't get there, but they said, like, well, can you take your juniors under 18? But in that respect, you've got all the problems there with the guardian side of it. You know, when you're taking players of that age, there's other problems coming to it.
Yes,
exactly. But again, going back to these players being double jabbed. You've just got to suggest it to them. But if they don't want it, it's their right not to have it. And we can't force that. And you know, and like you said, we can't go out and sign anybody, you know, sign Sunday League footballers, because then it becomes no level playing field. Yeah. Well, we're to go out and try and get all the players and just pay them. Well, it just makes it, well, for me, it makes a mockery of it, but that's something I'll have to deal with somewhere.
Well, Ray, I look forward to getting you on the Non-League Football Show again very soon.
Thank you.
Hopefully, that's not going to be me talking to you that you've had to sign yourself so that you can put out a team against the other man.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
But
to play in gold.
But if it is, I look forward to hearing the match report from you. Yeah. Ray Coverley, New Mills FC. You know, it's difficult circumstances, but pleased that we've got you on the Non-League Football Show. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks very much. Thank you.
So let's round off this week's news. Time as ever to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Tim, thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, you wiped your feet, you took your plate out, and you were good last time. So we'll always have
good
you.
Guess.
Yeah, you're a good guest. Yeah, yeah. we had the FA Vars draw at the start of the week that set up some tasty ties for January, and we'll have plenty to talk about in the new year on that one. But the excitement and focus this weekend is all on the FA Trophy. There's no National League due to the trophy. Just a handful of games in Step 2 as a result too. But unfortunately, I guess our starting point is probably the two big games that won't take place in Chesterfield, Guiseley, Maidenhead and Maidstone due to COVID in the ranks at those home clubs. Both those games are off, and since the clubs can't rearrange within the five-day reschedule window because those same players, they're simply not going to be available, they've had to withdraw from the competition, and bye's been given to Guiseley and Maidstone. It's a worrying time.
Yeah, I think worrying's a good word at the moment. I think it's kind of seeing everything that's going on in the Premier League and lots of EFL games off this weekend and seeing that as well. I mean, sort of two games kind of really seen so far, but I think sort of next bit of time will kind of tell us a lot more, and sort of 24 hours or so tell us a lot more. I suppose it's kind of not be kind of overreacting and kind of, kind of causing a storm that might not be there, but I think we've sort of seen it a little bit before. I think we're going off kind of history of kind of what we've seen these, when games start tumbling before, kind of where we ended up. But it's really difficult to tell at the moment. I mean, I'm not sort of no expert on this, but we see that those two games are off, and it's a shame for the competition. Clubs have to kind of withdraw because of needing to get through it. Obviously, we've seen that with replays and everything this season, but obviously then there's the wider picture of kind of health, and hopefully everyone affected is kind of okay, because it's not just about football at the moment, it's kind of everything else that's going around it as well.
Yeah, and I used to think it was difficult being a non-league football journalist. Some of the grief that you get on that, but who'd be a virologist or something? Knowing what the next twist and turn is it looks very very complicated, and that's where it then makes it difficult for the administrators at football level, because it looks like even the government don't know what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. So for football people to make decisions, it's very complicated.
Yeah, I think all the way through this whole process, this last sort of 2 years, we've kind of grown used to how quickly and how fast moving feast it's been, and things have changed from literally hour to hour all through in the sort of height of this sort of pandemic and how it's going to affect sport. And at the moment, obviously kind of everyone's still following government guidance and you can still play. And I'm sure, most clubs are going to be wanting to play, and the leagues will be wanting to play and keep the show on the road. But, it's going to be monitoring kind of what's happening. And if the Premier League have sort of kind of just come out recently, haven't they, and said, their sort of intention at the moment is to keep treating this as a game by game, and they're not sort of planning a shutdown, and the EFL sort of changed their protocols, and they're kind of tightening up again, and sort of imagine that the National League will kind of follow suit on that. Obviously, it's quite different in the non-league, where you've got part-time and players aren't sort of together as much, and is that kind of affecting it, where they're getting these breakouts at training grounds, because they're sort of interacting in the canteens and things like that, and players, can get around a bit more part-time level, and obviously just turn up to training and getting out of the cars and playing, and crowds are, we've got the COVID passports coming in this weekend and for the over 10,000 crowds, and that's trying to keep it going. But the majority of non-league clubs, that doesn't, every single non-league club, that doesn't actually affect them yet. But will those rules kind of change further down the line? Will that kind of issue?
You're seeing in the EFL, certain clubs also trying to keep their attendances below the 10,000, so they don't have to comply with those rules, which I understand where they're coming from, but it then becomes even more complicated, doesn't it? You're looking at non-league level as well. There's so many other things as well as players going down and not being available. I'm concerned about the lack of volunteers that we've got already across this season, across non-league. About people that wash the kit, people that serve the tea in the tea hut, the people that run the turnstile, the stewarding, things like that. We're already short on numbers across that, and if there's government, well, not government guidance, government's advice that maybe you don't need to go out unless you need to go out, sort of thing. that may lead to clubs operating, trying to run games, a dangerous level of a lack of people behind the scenes.
Yeah, like I say, it's already an issue, volunteers at the best of times, isn't it? And I think also the fact that it's, you know, we're a week away from Christmas nearly, that is the big thing that's on people's minds, and they sort of, you know, people think, well, sure, I won't go out, I won't do it, something this week, I can not do something this weekend, they're just going to get through, because you're now sort of in that sort of red zone, aren't you? If you get it now, then you can be potentially isolating over Christmas, and that's going to stop you from doing kind of what you want to be doing there. I know people are saying about gatherings and things like that, but you know, that's where a lot of people's minds are because of what happened last Christmas and how sort of difficult it was. And you know, this is, we're coming up to this big sort of bumper time for football. We've got all the sort of festive fixtures, calendar, and kind of what that means to people and means to clubs. It is a really, really sort of tricky situation, and it's kind of, you can say, lots more going into it rather than just getting it's not just about getting players out on the pitch, it's everything else that comes with it. And obviously, you know, people will be desperate to keep going for, you know, sort of, we've seen all too much in the last 12, 18 months, the impact that this has had on mental health as well. You know, there's just so many different factors, and it's not easy. And especially, like I say, when you went for a government, might change their minds any minute on something. And that's always kind of been the thing that the league administrators have kind of stressed to us, is, you know, you're sort of in the hands of the government a lot of the time. Whilst you can still play, we almost want to carry on.
And I fully understand that as well. And, you know, we say it was hard for the football administrators. At the start of the season, the three, step three and four leagues made clubs aware that if they had 13 registered players still available, that the game had to go ahead, that, you know, because we wanted to try and get through this season, and we still want to get through that. But it does seem that the incubation of this new variant is much more virulent and quicker to run through. I believe, you know, even a single day after you could then be, you know, show full signs of infection. And that concerningly could literally run through non-league with little that clubs can do about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it says the mixing over Christmas is probably going to exacerbate that, isn't it? And that's the, you know, is it sensible to have a kind of a circuit breaker in non-league and just kind of get through it and let more and more people get boosted? I mean, you know, getting boosted at the moment, the booster vaccination, not everybody has got to that stage yet. Now, I've not managed to get mine yet. I'm sort of booked in, but, you know, I'm in my mid-30s and, you know, I'm still getting through that kind of age range. So, you know, that's where a lot of players will be as well. So that come into it as well. Is it better to kind of get through that? What's kind of the level? Where do you say carry on? Where do you say sort of, you know, it's really sort of, don't envy these decisions. But it does, yeah. I think it's sort of like, it feels a bit downbeat today, isn't it? I think all these games going, kind of sort of feeling.
It is.
Think back to that March 2020 when kind of, probably February, where you kind of heard about this COVID thing coming and players are stopping shaking hands. And, well, that's a bit weird, but it won't sort of affect us kind of that much. Where I feel sort of a bit more clued up on it now. I mean, you can kind of see what's going to be happening, but, you know, there's lots of other bigger, wider pressures that, you know, sort of been talked about, you know, at the moment, restaurants and pubs and all that kind of thing. And that sort of, the economy, it's just, really difficult.
And you know, you mentioned like the mental health benefits. There's also the financial implications. You know, if there was a firebreak and clubs, you know, again, like pubs and restaurants, that, you know, Christmas is a big bumper time, isn't it? You'd expect a bumper crowd on Boxing Day. But you also mentioned there about, you know, the age group and of the players. You know, I saw some research today. It could have a big impact more on certain leagues than others. A report that a third of the population in London hasn't had a single vaccination against COVID, and probably within the demographic of non-league footballers, that could be even higher. So, you know, we discussed earlier on in the show about rules that have affected the club about not being double jabbed, so they couldn't make a journey. There's so many variables, and as I always say to people, you can never promise anything if that thing isn't within your control. And we've got the football authorities, leagues, and that trying to make decisions, but really, even that decision's out of their hands because there's the government and, well, just the virus itself taking taking control, really.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's kind of, we hope we'd be kind of through all this, didn't we? But I think there's all that nagging feeling in the back of the mind that this would be the third season affected. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's some sort of scope and wriggle room, hopefully, to kind of get through the season if there is a break. And I think you said earlier, hopefully this will pass a bit quicker. But yeah, it's just kind of a worrying time, and it's kind of, as I said before, it's about keeping everybody as safe as possible. And then kind of these big questions that Leeds can't answer, because it's kind of all above football, and it's wider than football. And you know, I think I sort of like look at other sports as well, and are they having the same issues? I don't know, but you know, football's such a big thing around this time of year. People want to be going out for Christmas after Christmas Day, and watching games together as families, and it's kind of that real sort of really important weekends in the calendar, and kind of where we headed with it.
Yeah, well,
it's a tricky one to answer. It is.
You know, we're sort of probably on the big couple of weeks of the football season. You know, you've got Tuesday night's game between Chesterfield and Notts County. That's got to be in serious doubt, given their trophy withdrawal for this weekend. Because otherwise, if they were thinking that everybody would be available, they would have tried to reschedule the trophy game, I would have thought. And then we got a full programme in the National League, playing for both Boxing Day and Tuesday the 28th. So, you know, there's a lot of football planned. That's a lot of plans that might need to be changed, or that's a lot of potential issues ahead. I'd like to say I've got a solution, but I haven't. I feel sorry for the people that are going to have to make some sort of decision here or there.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? I mean, we might have to be might need some more words to fill the paper if we're going to go back to no games for a few weeks. But yeah, you know, it's really difficult. It is really difficult, and I think that, you know, through this kind of what the top of the game has almost sort of shown that lead, and that's kind of how it all stopped before, because when the Premier League sort of came tumbling down, and will sort of everything else follow that again. And then I think, like I said, the next sort of 24 hours, I think every time you sort of go on, turn the news at the moment, you know, another game seems to go. So in the professional game, you're not really seeing that much in the league, but I just think the next 24 hours or so are going to be sort of interesting to see what actually kind of happens, and over the next week. But I don't know, I guess there's sort of an air of inevitability about it possibly at the moment, that, you know, is there going to be some sort of break? It's, and in society as well, you know, I think that's the thing I sort of like, you know, sort of, you start catastrophizing a little bit. You sort of start thinking forward to those kind of third round games, and thinking about Chesterfield going to Chelsea. Are we suddenly going to be behind closed doors again, and all that kind of thing? You know, like I say, I'm not trying to sort of sensationalise on here, and, you know, because I don't know. I'm just, you know, talking it out. But it's, you know, you're kind of, because we've been through this, and you kind of have those fears, and I think we've seen how resilient non-league football has been over the last 2 years, and there were all these big fears at the beginning, where it would end up, and how many clubs would go, and, you know, sadly some clubs have, but, you know, non-league football has largely come through it. But it's kind of that worry of if something does stop again, how long is it going to go on for, and all that kind of stuff. I guess, yeah, we can't control them. We don't have the answers to, unfortunately.
But hopefully, President has shown that there are solutions, and, you know, people have thought out different variations of where we could go. So hopefully there is a way forward. You know, I started on with the FA Trophy. There should have been 32 ties this weekend. At the time of speaking, I think we've got 30 left. £4,500 for the winners and £1,250 for the losers. No replay, straight to penalties if level after 90 minutes. But there's some great opportunity for some of the smaller clubs to make a name for themselves in the FA Trophy this year. You're looking at some of the ties there. The tie that's gone there, Chesterfield, Guiseley going through to the next round in the FA Trophy, which, you know, even the biggest of Guiseley fans may not have expected to have gone that far in the competition when they drew Chesterfield out.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone I speak to this season about the trophy kind of references Hornchurch last year and Hornchurch winning kind of in the circumstances they did while not playing league games and still just sort of kind of meeting up for games every, obviously they trained, but then, you know, having a game every few weeks and kind of getting through the manner they did and ending up at Wembley and then winning there as well. And this kind of sort of remarkable story for Mark Simpson and his players. But I kind of feel like everybody, you know, it's kind of inspired a lot of teams to think, you know, we can really sort of get there and have a chance with this competition. And there's some brilliant games this weekend. You know, Larkhall and AFC Tottenham, both lowest ranked teams, step four teams facing off against each other. So it's a chance for them to get into the next round. You've got Plymouth Parkway beat Hampden in the last round. They've got Dulwich Hamlet coming down. Bretford Park Avenue, Halifax, nice Yorkshire Derby, Cray Wanderers beat Dartford, Cray beat Ebbsfleet in the last round on penalties, and now they're going against Dartford. I mean, it couldn't get it much tougher for them, but it's, you know, another big derby and, you know, sort of like intriguing games all over the place, really. And you sort of feel that teams are really ready to kind of take this opportunity, and actually not that far away from Wembley now. If you can get through the next couple of rounds, it really does sort of kind of come in an achievable, well, not necessarily achievable, but kind of a realistic goal where people really kind of think that they've got the opportunity to play at the best stadium in the country.
Yeah, we normally talk about the managerial merry-go-round. It's been fairly quiet. A few changes lower down the pyramid. One story that did grab my attention was that Weymouth announcing former manager at Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, Crawley Town, several more there. Sean O'Driscoll, he's joined Brian Stock's coaching staff down there at Weymouth. I read that they've known each other since Brian was 15, where he's sort of been in various teams with Sean O'Driscoll. But that's a big coup for non-league, isn't it? So someone with that sort of pedigree coming down and just helping on the coaching side of things.
Yeah, I guess it's nice that Brian's got something, you know, that he's got Sean O'Driscoll, sort of someone, you know, that he can lean on and have for his, you know, all that experience that he's got. And I think we're seeing more and more kind of big names coming down, aren't we, into non-league over these years, and kind of they sort of come and, you know, can add real value. And Weymouth to kind of staying up this season will be a great achievement again, won't it? So having someone like that around and that sort of experience will be really, really important for them.
Hopefully we'll have plenty to report on this weekend. With games, and as we say, you know, things are probably going to be changing as you're typing the paper on Sunday evening. But what can we expect to read on Sunday morning that you know is unlikely to change?
Yeah, I wish I should have taken this week off. Actually, doing better. It's going quite well as well until today. But yeah, there's plenty in there. Hopefully, like I say, lots of games and you know, all the trophy action, and there's quite a bit of league stuff going on as well. But speaking of managerial changes, caught up with Bernard Morley. Obviously, Bernard Morley and Anthony Johnson left Chester a few weeks ago, and they're back in already at Spennymoor Town. And it's really interesting talking to Bernard. He's sort of saying about, you know, there's a fair distance between where they are now and Spennymoor, but they haven't talked to the chairman, Brad Groves. That was just a negative that was immediately taken off the table, and they could just sort of so determined to kind of get the job and take that opportunity on. And kind of interesting to hear him talk about going out of their comfort zone into a kind of a new part of the country where they've kind of not operated before. You know, we've all seen their success Ramsbottom, and obviously in the full glare at Salford and at Chester, where, you know, sort of got into the playoffs and another time to maybe have got up, but, you know, hasn't gone their way this season there. But, you know, back in at Spennymoor and National League North, a division they've won promotion from, and it'd be really fascinating to kind of see how they get on there. We're caught up with Hakan Retton and Maidstone, obviously going well. I mean, that National League South, you look through the table, and it is, you know, probably one of the most competitive in the whole of the non-league system at the moment. So wide open, such a fascinating league, and a couple of really good results made. Maidstone, and that's kind of catapulted them back up into the mix, and beating Ebbsfleet and Dartford Stamford last weekend. So spoke, caught up with Hakan, and we've also spoken to Liam Watson, why Southport, and sort of tricky start. I think it went for the first 8 or 9, I think it was. Can't remember quite off the top of my head, but they've been on a fantastic run ever since, and they're now up into those playoff places. And yeah, it just really sort of shows the sort of competitiveness of the leagues at the moment, and hopefully that when the football's carrying on, that we keep getting all that sort of entertainment and drama served up on the pitch.
But there'll be plenty of entertainment and drama served up in the non-league paper on Sunday. Matt, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim. Speak soon.
And that is it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever. And thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there, at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. Try and enjoy your football if you can. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.